Okay. Well, I guess we get California. That's what we got. Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Drive Through HR, the number one HR talk show. I think so. Today we're talking with Caleb Fullhart. Caleb, I would love to introduce you to everybody.
Oh, sure. Sure. My name is Caleb Fullhart. Senior Vice President of Professional Services and Client Success with Talent Circles for most recently. And then prior to that, I did HR systems and strategy consulting for my own firm for 6 years. And I'm here to talk about getting lucky, apparently.
Well, I mean, we all like to get lucky. I think there's even a song about it.
Correct.
Awesome. Well, okay, so Caleb, if somebody doesn't know you, if they didn't know you from the Twitters or conferences or whatnot, then they might think that you were a salesperson or on the vendor side. And while you are on the vendor side now, it wasn't always the case, right?
Right, yeah. The flipping over to the dark side, as I like to call it, is a recent development in the last month or so. I'm not sales. I'm more of a support, I guess, for sales or post-sales. My job is to help companies be successful with the tool that they have, and maybe thinking about it from a different, viewpoint than a lot of other people, just because I spent, like I said, I've been recruiting for 15 years now, the last six more on the system side of things, so helping them putting on the recruiter hat and using that to drive, the product and how people use it.
Cool.
That's what I do.
That actually seems like a fun job.
Yeah, it's all new to me. Well, I guess it's not, but doing it for one company is new to me, which is fun. It's exciting.
Very cool. Well, so I'm going to guess you didn't just luck into that, though. So running with that and getting lucky. Is career development luck or skill or planning?
Sure.
Or what do you think?
Well, I would say one of the first managers I had when I went into agency recruiting back in, 2000 now, I remember something he told me. He said, luck is opportunity plus preparedness. And he explained it in, you get a lot luckier if you're prepared when an opportunity presents itself. And that's something, I don't know if he was just saying it. He had lots of sayings, which were half funny and half serious. But I think it is something I took to heart. And I worked really hard at being prepared for, what I saw as future potential opportunities. I spent most of my lunches reading, whether it was, articles on the internet or actual books, paper books, if those still exist, in preparing myself for, what I felt were opportunities that could come down the path. And a lot of it was more on the business side, learning trends in the marketplace and understanding how the business that I was in could influence or assist in that. And it made for, lucky opportunities, where we won more deals because I understood what was going on and how we could impact what was going on. And that's something that's kind of stuck with me since I had success with that previously. Although I didn't have the foresight of my current opportunity, I think a lot of what I was doing prepared me for it. So when it came up, it made sense. For career planning, there's the saying of people saying, do the job that you want to get, do the part. And I think that's the preparedness piece of it. You want to be a manager. You want the next promotion. It's being ready for that next promotion, doing your own work, not necessarily the paid work, will just better position you. It'll help you, or at least it has me. And I think if you can show that you are ready for it, you're going to get luckier.
Well, so I agree with that. But you also have to be able to see the lucky breaks when they come, right? And it's sometimes, actually a lot of times, don't you think it's easy to see those lucky breaks in the rearview mirror than it is when they're coming up to you? I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think people have if you're following, if you're in your business, right, and you know what's coming, or the foresight, I'll give you an example for, I guess this would be me personally. There was an issue, this was back in agency, probably like 2004, and they had something called the Basel II Accord, and it was how banks dealt with, it was part of the financial crisis. So it was, you know, 2006, 2008 timeframe.
Okay.
Right when I got out of agency. But so there was all this, I was at a client meeting and they're like, well, we're trying to figure out Basel II Accord. I'm like, okay, I don't even know what that is. But I just smiled and nodded my head. So I went and researched, you know, it was basically this framework on how to do your risk assessment of loans, like how banks did their assessment. So I was kind of digging in, and it was more of a framework, and it wasn't like a SOX compliance level deal. It was just, if you're in banking, we want you to adhere to this. Well, when I started digging into it and then researching about, you know, how banks grow, and the problem that I discovered, and I talked to a couple of clients, was is when banks acquire other banks, they usually just keep their systems. There wasn't a lot, or at least at this time, there wasn't a lot of, hey, this is the system we're on. You know, we're going to really convert the data over and bring you onto that as well. That wasn't happening. So you had a problem where they didn't track the same information on the same people. So the preliminary work for the Basel II Accord was is they needed to get all of their information uniform so that they could run it through whatever was decided. So I went to market with the companies, and you know, I called all the banks and said, hey, how are you guys doing your data conversion? And they're just like, we don't know. We're trying to figure that out. And it kind of put me in more of the consulting mode with my clients. And we got really lucky on a lot of deals because we understood what they were about to go through. And I think that's a good example, I guess, from my personal life, where understanding, you know, digging into something, you know, that might be affecting your clients or your business. You know, I give an example: the people that saw ACA coming and did the research are probably doing really, really well right now, if they have a solution to help companies, versus the people that are, you know, being reactionary right now and are trying to figure it out.
I would agree with that. So I think for a lot of people, the challenge is knowing what to act on and what not to, right? Because there's a lot of different ideas. I was talking with Danielle Weinblatt of Take the Interview at TalentNet last week. And, yeah, you guys know each other. So Danielle, you know, we're talking about product opportunities and kind of where you could take different tech in the marketplace and different applications and stuff, right? And it's so easy to look at all of these different opportunities and say, let's do it all. Or, you know, conversely, get paralyzed and not know which one to do. And I think that kind of drives the difference between success and failure. But that's not luck, right? That's skill.
Yep.
So how do you develop that skill as it applies to your own career? How have you done that?
Yeah, I just, being aware, I think it's probably, you know, the critical being proactive or thinking. People spend a lot of time in their business, but not always a ton of time on their business. You know, and this could be done at all levels. It doesn't, you don't have to be the CEO of a company. You could be, anyone at any level, and understanding what impacts it. You know, even if you take an hour a day or, you know, a couple hours a week where you just, you know, like I said, research was big. I'm a research person. If I'm bored at night, I'm going to be researching something, and how it applies to your business. I think if you take that proactive approach and just kind of step away from your day-to-day activities and see what's going on. I mean, there's a ton of information out there. find what's impacting your business, and you're going to be prepared. It lessens the chance of surprises of, what's going to impact your career, right? Or how you can more positively, it gives you more influence over how you can react to your career. Like,
yeah,
I would have if there was people in banking, if there was people in banking during, the Basel II stuff that were paying attention to it, when they got into a meeting about, that topic, I bet you they looked really, really smart. because, like I said, so many people are just doing their job, going through what they need to do. A lot of people don't take that extra time to work on it and do it smarter.
No, I totally agree with all of that. I'd like this to kind of pivot for a little bit, if that's okay.
Sure.
Because one of the things I think is really interesting about you is you have a really diverse background. So you've been a recruiter, you've been an agency recruiter. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. And then you got into systems, and you've done implementation and integration work, and you've done a lot of really interesting things. I know that a lot of recruiters particularly look at their role and think, okay, where do I go from here? I mean, there are some that they just want to stay in recruiting, and there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's awesome.
Right.
But for the people that do want to pivot into something else, I think your background kind of serves as a pattern maybe. So do you want to walk people through that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it was, and you and I have talked offline about this. I'm a geek. I like the technology. I like figuring out how things work. I guess moving into the systems is a good example of that. I was on a consulting project with a large firm, Fortune 100, and I would play around with their system, right? Like, I would make things work so it worked better for me, because I had a boss that gave me that leverage or that leeway to do it. And then I'd read up on, the systems that we were working on. Our applicant tracking system was a bear. And I'd do the research. When I was bored at night, I'd look like, oh, maybe we could try it this way. I'd read the white papers, if anybody ever still does that. I'd read the case studies, how people were using it. And then I'd play with it on their demo sites. And I went to my boss and I said, if we did this, XYZ way, it would solve this problem. And she was like, okay, prove it. I just did a quick demo and I showed her. And she's like, okay, go for it. You can do it. And that kind of evolved into, you're the guy to talk to on how to fix, an issue with the system. Which apparently there's not a ton of recruiters that like to play with the technology. I was just one of those guys who did, which worked out well for me. it turned into a job. I was at that project for 2 years. And my boss had left and went to another company, and she was like, you need to come and redo that here. And what turned into, a 6-week part-time position to do some, tweaks on reporting ended up being 23 months long full-time. And that turned into, hey, call Kato's if your system's not working right. My consulting business, I never advertised. I barely had a website. But I had phone calls all the time, just because it was the nature of the business. Is I was a recruiter that understood what needed to happen from a business process and how to translate that into a technical specification that they can get the system to do what they want. And I think that's what kind of pushed me into this job is, I've sat on Lord knows how many demos, from an HR technology standpoint, mainly because I used to do assessments with clients where they didn't know what applicant tracking system to use, or they didn't know what, social marketing tool they want to use, any of those things that fell under an HR system. I sat on those demos, and you can tell, a recruiter sitting at a desk can tell if the program's going to work for them or not going to work for them, or you know, or can tell if somebody from recruiting had an input on it. I've said, and I will never name names, but there's some demos out there, like you could tell it was a group of developers sitting in a room that have never recruited outside of maybe they interviewed somebody on their team. And they're building a product, you know, for recruiting or HR technology. And it's what's, you know, blaringly obvious to a recruiter isn't necessarily going to be to a developer because they've never had to sit in that seat. They've never had to pick up the phone and say, okay, oh, crap, I need to find a Java developer in San Francisco that's going to work for, you know, $100,000. You know, that makes it a unique, you know, that's unique search. They've never had to do that. And having that insight and having sat in that desk for so long is a different viewpoint when you're influencing a technology, which is, you know, what my job has become now. You know, working with you know, our clients and the engineering team saying, hey, a recruiter's not going to use this way. I understand why you think they might, but they're not. This is going to drive them nuts, or this is going to be, they're going to love this. This is awesome. Do more of that. Do less of this. That's kind of the evolution, I guess. That might have just been a really long answer to a short question.
I don't know. It's all good. We're going to take a quick pause to reset. If you're just now joining us, you're tuning in to Caleb Bullhart, one of the, I think probably one of my favorite brains in the space. He has, let's start with who he is. He's the VP of Client Success. Is that right?
Professional Services, yep. And Client Success.
With Talent Circles. And I stumble on that title a little bit because that's a new thing for you, right? So how long have you been with Talent Circles?
February.
That's awesome. So about a month?
Weeks. Weeks.
Awesome. Well, congratulations on the new role. So one of the things I really, really like about you is what you were talking about. You know, the influence that you saw that you could have on technology. And, I mean, you and I talk hours and hours and hours about tech and things that can and can't
yep.
do and shouldn't do. So
right.
I would say to everyone listening, if you haven't had a chat with Caleb, get to know him because he's super smart. But for the purposes of the next 15 minutes, I think that's a really interesting thing to hit on because I think recruiting in general has the ability to influence tech more than we really do and leverage
right.
that to the benefit of our organization. So if you were to sit with a recruiter and say, here's what you could do, or if a recruiter came to you and said, I want to really be more influential about how shaping the technology that we use in our organization, what's like a checklist of where to start? What are, like, give me the three. Did you watch The Gambler?
Did I watch The Gambler? No.
Okay, well, so The Gambler is this movie that's got Mark Wahlberg and John Goodman, and John Goodman lays his line down. I mean, it's like, give me the three. What are the three big things? So what would be the three big things a recruiter needs to know to help influence technology within their organization?
Yeah, I mean, get familiar with how they work, I guess. You know, if you know you're living in your applicant tracking system every single day, you know, if you spend some time figuring out how it works, you'll get a better idea of the first aha moment I had in this was my ability to recognize a relational database versus a object-oriented database, just based on, you know, how they were describing things work. And understanding why they work that way and why companies will use either or to do their work would be huge. You know the product that you're in because, like I said, 90% of these developers, all the demos, I know when they have somebody that's a recruiter influencing it and when they don't. Because recruiters, we know how we work. We know when an ATS is a giant pain in the butt to schedule, you know, a screen with a hiring manager. Because you have to click 62 things and it doesn't integrate with Outlook. You know what? That sucks.
Do you think, though, that the recruiter can actually affects change. So if something isn't working the way that it should, or a process or a function within the the technology isn't right, do they really have the ability to get it changed? And if so, what do they do?
Yeah, I would say, so the influencing change, know your systems, be vocal about it. You guys are the ones using the system. There's always, you know, every vendor has a rep that'll, you know, hey, let's do a training, or, you know, every time that there's a renewal process, that's when, you know, your vendor rep, you're going to know their first name, because they'll call you and all of a sudden you're the most important person in the world, you know, the recruiters. You know, and good companies are going to ask, you know, hi, how's the feedback on this? What do you like? What do you not like? Be vocal about it. Can you change this? Ask it. There's, you know, most companies will have an HRIS analyst that sits there. Find out who it is. Who manages the system for you on site? That person can, influencing that person can influence a lot of change, because that's the person that is working with the vendor, or, you know, managing the system for you. You know, the third thing, never stop learning. And never stop being quiet. They change. Updates happen all the time. You know, when I did Workday work, there was, you always had to worry about the next, I shouldn't say worry. There was always an update coming. There was always something that was going to change. Pay attention and understand how it's going to influence you.
I think that's pretty great advice. So I've been asking you a ton of questions about getting lucky.
Yeah.
Anything you
want to
share?
Anything you want to talk about? Yeah, let's see. What do we have? 9 minutes here. We've covered a lot of ground, I guess. Have fun with it. I mean, it shouldn't be. Here, we'll remove the technology out of it. Find what you love about your job. The passion piece, I guess, was big for me. When I found out that I was a geeky person and loved the technology, it wasn't really hard to dig in on it. If your passion is more around, you know, how to make the process better, there's tons of companies out there that push white papers and case studies on business process and business process optimization. If yours is, you know, social marketing, you know, for recruitment, you know, dig in on that. Most companies, and I'll use this is strictly from my point of view, most companies out there don't have one person that's just going to stand up and say, you know what, I think this is important. I've done the research. This is how we can do it. Will you let me do it? And there should be more of that. That's kind of how I found, I guess, my niche, was saying, I love this. This is fun. This gets me excited. This wakes me up. I want to play with this technology. Find out what it is that you want to play with. And I use play because it's fun. I have fun at what I do. There's long days and the travel sucks sometimes, but I like it. And I like seeing the impact on it. So, you know, getting lucky per se is probably more in your control than it is anybody else's. And I think people in general recognize when someone's passionate about something, and unless they have a horrible boss, they're not going to get in your way.
Yeah,
we're not going to talk about horrible bosses.
Right, that's a whole different episode. I think you're right. I also think some of that depends on the org you're in. I was having a conversation today with Kara I just totally botched her last name, but anyway, I was having a conversation today with this lady named Kara, and she's in the recruiting world and works for a really large company. And one of the things that we were talking about was just the bureaucratic process that happens in corporations. And so change may not be an instantaneous thing. So probably some good advice is like, hey, don't get discouraged if no happens the first time around, right?
Right. Correct. Yeah, it's. I mean, I was raised under the belief you ask for forgiveness, not permission. but bigger companies are more accepting of that than others, which I've learned more times than I'd like to admit. I think, you know, when there's a lot of bureaucracy that you have to, a lot of hoops that you have to jump through, I think if you present it, if you can present a solid business case, you know, a problem, a solution, and how you influence that solution, you know, you personally to your boss, you're going to get a lot farther down the road in a lot less time. And I'll use the example of when I was at Accenture, I worked for their technology labs as a recruiter. And they had I had the luck, if it were, of the director, the executive director of the technology labs, liked me, right? And I think he liked me because I took time to figure out the technology side of things and how they, you know, what they were trying to accomplish. So I was presenting to him kind of my idea. I'm like, hey, I'd like to try this. You know, that's our demand planning isn't that great. And I'm thinking if we use, you know, these other systems, you know, maybe just try this, maybe we can make our demand planning better. And he was really good. He was really good in the fact that he's like, okay, that's a great idea. He goes, but if you ever want to do it here, here's what you need to do. And he's like, you need to write the business case for it. You need to write, like, it was literally ended up being like a 6-page document that I presented to him. And that made it fly through at mock speed because it had all of their, you know, in bureaucracy, they just want to make sure that they're not going to get in trouble. They're not going to, you know, it's well thought out. It's a vetted plan, you know, all the checks and balances. If you present to them with all the questions that they're going to probably have answered, it goes through quickly, or I should say it goes through a lot quicker than if it's a, hey, I have this idea. Let's give it. Can we try this? Because then you spend the next 3 months answering questions.
Yeah.
That'd be my advice.
I think building a business case for things that you want to do is important, right? It's easy to say, oh, we should do this or, oh, we should do that. But if you can't build the why behind it and how that benefits the business, it's really hard for leadership to give you buy-in if they're really tapped in the care, right? There's going to be organizations like, whatever, just get out of my hair.
Right.
I don't know how much it helps you either. I don't know if that's a lucky break or anyway.
Yeah. And each company has a different level of bureaucracy. And you know, if you've been there for more than 90 days, you're probably going to know the level you're dealing with.
Agreed. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left. So let people know where they can find you.
I am on LinkedIn as Caleb Fulhart. I'm pretty sure I'm the only one in America. The Twitter is CJ Fulhart. Trying to think, where else am I? Twitter, LinkedIn, Skype. But LinkedIn's probably the best. And I respond to emails.
Right on.
I don't know you.
What events are you going to? Are you going to be at Term Talent Management, or where can people see you live and in person?
All right. That's a really good question. I think I'm going to be at the Direct Employers in May. I'll probably be at HR Tech in October. Term, I believe I'm going to be at. Like I said, it's a new job, and I haven't quite figured out my travel schedule yet. All I know is I did 7,000 miles last week, and I'm probably going to do the same in a couple of weeks. So it's everywhere you want to be. I don't know. Sounds like a good catchphrase.
No, it's all good. Well, thanks for joining us today. And I think that you're, like I said, I think your career journey is awesome. And if you don't know Caleb, reach out, get to know him, do some networking and see maybe it can help you get lucky in your career. Join us tomorrow as we talk to Brad Galen on the Drive-Thru HR. Thanks so much, guys. Have an awesome day.
Thanks, Crystal. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Caleb. Bye.